All right, now have you read Genesis 1 verse 31 yet? Have a look at it. It says, "And God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good." Next thing you're not allowed to forget, one boomerang, one CD-ROM, one video on where the different races come from. How come some people are black, some people are white, and some people are like me? They've got freckles. Every colour from every race on one body. That's me, United Nations on two legs. Okay, here's the question. Now, don't forget, Martin, the screen, Genesis chapter 1, a boomerang, a CD-ROM, and a video. By the way, this video is yours free of charge, young people. Normally $25 or $35, whatever it is here. If you can tell me what use Adam would have had for all of the things we've just mentioned. Don't even need to pay for it. Don't even need to pay state sales taxes or anything. This is yours, free of charge. What use would Adam have had for a boomerang, a CD-ROM on the evidence of creation, a video on where all the skin colours come from, a field trip to Montana to dig up dinosaurs, and a free electronic newsletter every 2 weeks? Anybody want to guess? Oh, well, let's go one step further. Boomerangs are reasonably high tech. I know that because most people can't make one. You have to have some sophisticated knowledge. CD-ROMs are sophisticated, high tech. This one you can use to catch a bird and fill up that space in your tummy because birds cooked are yummy. This one you can't catch a bird with at all, but you can't play a computer with this one. And you can play a computer with that. All right, look, let's make the offer even higher. Now that you know that, one free video on where our skin colours come from, plus one CD-ROM, if you can tell me what use Adam would have made of all of the things I've mentioned. You've got to be 12 years of age or younger. It's an easy question, actually. Let's make it easier. 15 years of age or younger. Good. Now you know why you're here to listen this morning. Because nobody is brave enough to answer the question. You see, let's have the next slide, please. We are going to deal with an aspect of the Bible that you've probably never thought of. Technology. A boomerang's technology. A field trip printed on a glossy purple-blue sheet that's out there free of charge is technology. A CD-ROM is technology. The video is technology. Actually, let's have the next slide, please. Because Genesis chapter 1, which is where you're at, says God made the world very good, and Adam would have had no use for any of the things that I've mentioned. None whatsoever. He didn't need a boomerang to catch birds, because if you go to verse 29 of Genesis, you will discover he ate plants. And you don't need to sneak up and throw your boomerang to catch a cabbage. You don't need to plan an ambush for carrots. You don't need weapons to kill a lettuce. Okay? Adam had no use for any of that technology. He didn't need to come on a field trip to discover the evidence of Noah's flood. Why not? It hadn't happened yet. And he didn't need a CD-ROM to convince him the world was created, because he was there when woman was created. He didn't need to be convinced of that. When God made the world, it was very good. Let's have our next slide, please. Now you have some policemen in the congregation, and I'm sure that most of their colleagues would not give that answer when they were asked what was the world's oldest profession. Because the answer is gardening. They think it's something else. You see, when God first made man, man was a genius of a gardener. Well, gardening was a fair bit easier in those days, because when God made the world, it was very, and now it's not. And gardening is not so easy anymore. In fact, if you have a look at some of the things that Adam did, let's have our next transparency showing up there on the screen. He was a scientist, because God brought the animals to him, and he named each of them. And whatever name he gave them, the Bible says, that's what they were called. Now, there's a couple of purposes in this, of course. It's one interesting question to ask, why didn't God name all the creatures? And the answer is because naming represents authority over a creature. That's why you invent the name for your dog and the dog doesn't invent a name for you. You catching on? Oh, actually, most of you aren't willing to go much further with that because Adam named his wife Eve. But I'll let you think about that. You see, we have a problem with this because of the fall. Adam named his wife. Adam named the animals. Adam's memory must have been incredible before the fall, because he had to remember the name of the first animal long before he got to the last animal. And let's imagine there were 26,387 creatures that had to be named. Oh, you want to know the difference between the world you live in, which is caused, come about, a consequence of what happened in Genesis chapter 3, that the theologians wisely invented the term for the fall? Some of you men do the shopping, don't you? Do you get everything on the list your wife gives you? Actually, why do you need a list? Do you realize it's because your brains are no longer as good as they used to be? Now, there's a thought. Why do you need a CD-ROM? Why do you need gloves for gardening? Why can't you remember the label on the plant when you bought it? Because Adam did all of this in his head. He remembered the name of the first animal before he got to the 26,781st of them. Otherwise, he would have had to start again. Adam was made in the image of God, and he was a genius. And he lived in a world which before the fall, he didn't need technology at all. Now, there's an interesting thought, because you and I live in a world in which we see technology as helping us to get better and better. And many people are so fooled by that, they have their hope in technology. We will invent thornless roses, and we have. We will get to the moon. We will bring peace. We will, and technology will help us. The more video cameras we have spying on people, the less crime there will be. Technology, our savior. Oh, by the way, look, when the fall came, Adam needed gloves. In fact, they were probably one of the first things that he invented. He probably needed to invent shoes too. He tried to invent clothes, remember, but God didn't approve of his designer. Adam and Eve invented topless swimwear, and God didn't approve of it then, and he doesn't approve of it now. And in fact, when God got around to inventing coverings, our first technology which we had to take up was really a reminder of what sin had done to this planet. We don't wear clothes because it's cold. If you think that's the reason, move to Australia where it's warm most of the year. And we wear clothes there too. And we don't wear clothes because it's hot. The bottom line as to why we wear clothes is because originally our sin needed to be covered and we needed to be reminded of that. Oh, by the time you get to thorns and thistles, the world is no longer much fun. In fact, let's have the next slide. Gardening becomes a real curse. How much money do you think DuPont Chemicals made in the first year of creation selling weed killer? Initially, there was no market. Do you realize that? You see, the reason I'm doing this is that most people have been brought up in this world to see the Bible as a religious book. And so we look for the devotional bits. Well, God bless your heart for doing that, but in reality, if that's all you do, you've missed most of the main points. You can go to most Christian bookshops and they're full of devotional stuff. Praise God for devotional stuff, but if that's all that's there, they've missed the most important bits. You see, the Bible is a history of weeds. It's a history of farming. And despite what your biology teacher said, who said that man started off as a hunter-gatherer, and then when we got smart enough, as our brains got bigger and our hair fell out and our weapons got better, we could take up farming. And the Bible says, wrong, wrong, wrong. We started out as farmers in a world where there were no weeds. And then it got harder as thorns came on the roses. And thistles grew out of the ground and weeds started to become a problem. By the way, you know what a weed is, don't you? It's any plant you'd wish was in your neighbour's yard and not yours. That's a weed. The smart way of farming these days, of course, is learn how to make money out of weeds. That's why DuPont sells weed killer and doesn't do any farming. Interesting world we live in. The Bible says God made the world very good, and then man sinned, and the world went from good to bad. It's the opposite of what Dr. David Suzuki tells you every week on television. He sees the world as starting out as molecules that turned into men who are getting cleverer and cleverer. And if only we can figure it out, we will make this place heaven on earth. Let's have the next slide, please. You see, there's a story in Genesis chapter 4, which if you know your Bibles well enough, you'll remember some of the details. Cain and Abel were Adam and Eve's children. Tells you that in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. By the time you get to verse 3, they're 20 or 30 years of age. It's amazing how quickly you get through lifespans in the first chapters of the Bible, and then you find that they bring an offering to God. Oh, Cain is listed as being a farmer, and Abel is listed as someone who is breeding the sheep. Not surprised he was breeding sheep. You see, he needed to make his clothes from something. And we know he wasn't eating them because man was told to be a vegetarian in the beginning. And even though sin has come in, and even though the ground has been cursed, there's no evidence that God had given us any other instruction at that point in time. Oh, and then Cain kills Abel. And God curses Cain. Well, first of all, God cursed the ground, but now a person in particular has been cursed. Do you know the details of the curse? God basically told Cain, it doesn't matter what brand of seed you buy at the local greenhouse, nothing will grow for you. You're doing biology 101 at university. Can I tell you they're not telling you the whole truth? Because they think if you take seeds and you plant them and add the right temperature and the right water and the right amount of carbon dioxide, you will get a glorious plant, particularly if you buy our brand of fertilizer. Isn't that the way it goes? And the Bible says that's not the way the world works at all. If you leave God out of the picture, your plants won't grow. I mean, why is it that the Soviet Union collapsed? Didn't they have year after year after year of drought and famine and hardship on the land? Tell me, which god did they worship? The god of atheism. They made themselves into little gods, and the plants didn't grow. Oh, you see, the Bible gives you the whole picture about growing plants, the whole picture about roses, the whole picture about weeds. And if you think that weeds just grow because you're not a good gardener, I'm sorry, you're wrong. That's why the big chemical factories make a fortune. Because you buy $100 worth of weed killer this year, you spray your lawn, and does that get rid of the weeds forever? By the way, how much do you actually pay for the weeds each year? Do you realize they come free? Oh, and Cain couldn't even grow a weed if he tried. And so he became a restless wanderer, a gypsy, a hunter-gatherer. Oh, you catch the difference? Dr. David Suzuki says you started out as ape-like creatures and you were hunter-gatherers to start with. You became smart enough, so you started farming and then you built cities. Well, look, let's have a look at the next slide and find out what Cain did. Cain went and built a city. In fact, I'm pretty sure it was a walled city because Cain had one fear, that his brothers and sisters and his mum and dad were going to kill him as punishment for murdering his brother. No, he didn't go out and build a couple of little huts. He didn't go out and build a little house. He built a city for the sake of his son, for the sake of himself. And besides, if you can only from now on catch food, what's the point of having a farm anyway? Oh, and one thing you'll see, Cain and his descendants would have had to begin to think about weapons. Interesting. They would have had to begin to think about money. You know what money is, don't you? It's a bit of paper that's worth absolutely nothing and the government has convinced you it's worth something. Isn't that true? Right? But what do you use it for? Don't you swap it for something that's got real value like cabbages? And if you can't grow cabbages, you're happy to swap your little bits of paper to somebody who can. Oh, and if you can't grow cabbages and you can't buy them, you better find a way to begin to hunt. An interesting world that the Bible portrays. In fact, by the time you get to Cain city building, you begin to realize one thing. These people are not primitives on the way up. They're sophisticated people, but what direction are they actually going in? Let's have our next one. You see, Cain's children went out and we're still only four chapters into the Bible. And it talks about some very famous people, the people who invented musical instruments, the people who invented the first Iron Age. Now, if I was to offer you a free prize, say this book here, On One Blood, The Evidence That All People physically, genetically, and spiritually are descended from Adam and Eve, whether you're black or white or whatever color you are. I wonder if you could tell me the answer to this question. How many years is this before Noah built his ark? Do you realize most Christians can't answer that question? Oh, and because you can't, you'll have to see Martin with your credit card and buy a copy out there. And give us a number on a bit of paper and we'll give you a book. Isn't that a marvelous system we've invented? Funny thing is, this is around about 1,000 years at least before Noah built the ark. Now, which university of metallurgy did these guys go to? There was no university. They went out and they invented brass alloys. Now, how many of you, if I could send you out into the northern region of Ontario and say, look, come back in a week with a brass trumpet? Number one, you've got no idea how to build a trumpet. Number two, you've got no idea how to make brass. Number three, this tells you these guys understood music because they invented the alloys and they made them into musical instruments. Now, why? Go back to Genesis chapter 1, please, and have a look at verse 26. You see, many Christians undersell the significance of all this information that's in Genesis. We are so used to seeing ourselves as just another one of the creatures on the planet, just another animal, that we miss how different we actually are. Have you been to the zoo and seen the signs, "Visit your relatives this weekend"? What a lie they're telling you. Have a look at verse 26 of chapter 1. And God said, let us make man in what? Our image. Don't be surprised we can make musical instruments because God could make the universe and we're made to be like him. We invent universes on science fiction shows. Don't be surprised. We're made in his image. We can do the sort of thing that he can do. We just can't do it as well as he can. In fact, let's have the next slide. You're wondering how we know all about these? I'm pretty sure Adam wrote it down. Because in Genesis chapter 5, it tells you that this is the written record. This is the book of Adam. It's the only place in Genesis where this word is used. The next 9 subdivisions of Genesis say this is the history of. But this one says this is the book. You see, Moses wasn't there when it happened. Adam was. Oh, you're wondering how Adam could write. Well, let's answer a more basic question. How could he speak? I mean, isn't it true? When God called the animals to Adam, Adam gave them a name. So what could Adam do? He could think, he could remember, he could compile lists. But then it says God put him to sleep and he took from his side and he made a woman and he brought her to him. And Adam said, blow me down, what on earth is that? Is that what he said, by the way? I mean, that's what you might have said, fellas, if you've never seen a woman before and there's the most gorgeous woman stark naked in front of you. But you see, Adam said, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, that's a woman. Question, he'd never seen anything dead. How did he know about bones? He wasn't even there when she was made. How did he have a name for her? You see, the answer is, he was made in the image of God. God can speak. So guess what you can do? You can speak. I mean, you want to see a picture? Go and stand in front of the mirror. Imagine me this morning getting ready to come here. I'm standing there. I'm brushing my hair. I'm combing my face. All the things a man has to do. And I say, oh, you gorgeous hunk, you. And you know what my image does? It goes, because I can speak. It can speak. Because I can comb my hair, what can it do? It can comb its hair, but you see, you can hear me when I speak. You'd have to lip read my image because my image can only reflect what I do. It can never do anything as well as I can do it. Isn't that true? And the same is true for man. God could speak and a universe comes into existence. Adam could speak, but all he did was name things. And he had a word already built into him because he had a computer that God had actually put in there. That's why when we make Windows 99, Windows 2000, Windows 3000, do you know what we're doing? We are taking our ideas and putting them into the computer, and the computer is made after our likeness, and the computer can't even give you a word unless we, the creator, put it in the computer first. Oh, do you know why Adam could write? Remember the story of the Ten Commandments? God comes to Moses and he gives him two tablets, correct? They weren't Disprin or Aspirin or anything else. They were the two stone tablets that had the Ten Commandments on. Where did the Ten Commandments come from? Doesn't the Bible say God wrote them down? Yes, with his own hand. And if God could write, guess what we could do? And we didn't need to invent writing at all. See how brainwashed most of us have become? We think as we got smarter and smarter, we invented writing, and the opposite is true. As we got dumber and dumber, many of us lost it. In fact, let's keep going a little further. Bring up our next slide. God comes to Noah and says, "Hey, Noah, I want you to build a floating zoo. It's the biggest ocean liner." Now, have you ever noticed how humorous this story is? God comes to Noah and says, "I want you to build an ocean liner. It's got three floors, one window, one door. It's this long, that wide, that high. Go for it." And Noah says, "Okay." I mean, if you were Mr. Noah, how would you feel? You'd say, "Me? I haven't been to boat school. Why pick on me? Surely there's more qualified people around." Now, do you realize why Noah had no trouble? I mean, have you ever sat down and thought, what did he do to build this ark? Did he get out his Windows 3000 program and try and figure out the best, you know, carbon fiber silicate stuff to make it out of? No, he probably did it all in his head. I say that because, you see, I'm interested in ancient buildings. And I was with a historian in England last year, and I've always puzzled about some of these big cathedrals. And so I asked the historian, I said, "Look, where can I go? You see, I'm interested in the technology of cement, being someone who's involved in geology. And I said, where can I go to see where the plans for these huge buildings are actually stored?" He said, "There weren't any plans. They did it as they went along." Now, that's not how you are allowed to build a building, is it? You have to prove it won't fall down before you even put it up. I didn't worry about that. They set out to make it. And don't be surprised they could create such huge buildings. We are made in the image of God who created such a huge universe. Now, we're not much good at universes, but buildings, we've got them right down to a pat. Trouble is, we're requiring more and more regulations because we don't seem to be evolving that way at all. In fact, when you have a think about Noah, have a look at our next slide and think of some of the things that he would have invented. Do you realize he was the first person to invent a raincoat, an umbrella? The world is not on the way up. He would have been the first person to need woolen socks to keep his little tootsies warm in the middle of winter. In fact, by the days of Job, you find out that people would have had to invent really good jackets to keep the ice and the snow off. And we're no longer living 1,000 years. We're not even living 600 years. Noah's sons, well, amongst the descendants of Noah, you have Nimrod and co. And Nimrod is not on the way up. In fact, Nimrod is using his technology to make a real hash of things. Let's have a look at the next slide. Let's hope we're in the right order. There we are, yes. Nimrod is the first public antichrist, and Noah is still alive. I mean, how foolish could you get? There's the fellow over there who built the huge floating zoo, and over here you are building a tower in contradiction to the God's instruction who had just washed the world away 100 years earlier. You think you're smart because you invent multi-story skyscrapers? Oh no, you thought we invented those in the 21st century. No, they were invented shortly after Noah's flood. Now the fascinating thing is, if God could make a universe and we're made in his image, don't be surprised that we're the only people who build skyscrapers. And birds don't. And monkeys don't. In fact, don't be surprised that we're the only creative creature on the planet. And we think it's technologically improvement to make all these things bigger and better. Now, have you followed our theme so far? Or have you got lost in the interesting little tidbits I'm trying to bring out? You see, the theme is you and I see technology as a savior that's taking us in this direction. And you know why we need taking in that direction? We've forgotten how far down we actually have come. Question, demonstration. Did Adam need air conditioning? Did he need warming in winter? Do you think he needed a computer to help him with his addition? Do you think the checkout chicks in the Garden of Eden couldn't add up? Oh, you see, the real reason we need a computer is your brain on the inside's on the way out, so you need another on the outside to help you with what's inside. Or haven't you figured that out? Or don't take my word for it. Take the computer away from the checkout chick and get her to add it up. See what happens. Ah. You see, the Bible's picture of history is interesting. And in case you think we've gotten sidetracked, let's give you one last thought before we bring a point to this morning. And I would encourage you, have a look at the videos out there and where our skin colours came from. Have a look at the importance of this to the whole of the gospel. But you see, here it is. We are in a missionary alliance church whose key point is about missions, correct? And we need to see why we are doing this. Why are we evangelizing all these people? We've talked about Cain. He hasn't got any descendants left on the planet. They all died at the time of the flood. Now we're after the flood and we're talking about Nimrod. He's got a lot of descendants on the planet. And so is Noah, and so is Ham, and so is Shem, and so is Japheth. And every one of you in this building is descended from one of those people that I have just named. In fact, think of the Tower of Babel if you want to understand the following. Remember my friends, the Australian Aboriginals, who were so good with this boomerang? They were not the people who invented it. That's a lie I was taught at school. North American Aborigines had these. The people in the Middle East had these. The people in Poland made them out of ivory tusks. The Aborigines are merely the last people to keep using them. When Captain James Cook arrived in England several hundred years ago, there was not one town, not one village. There was no main paved roads. There was no farms. And most of the people wore no clothes. And you and I, courtesy of David Suzuki, the Discovery Channel, National Geographic, most of the newspapers see these people as primitive people who need our technological help to get up higher. And the Bible sees them as exactly the opposite. They started out as people who could write, people who could build, people with metalworking technology, people who could build ocean liners and multi-story towers. And then after the Tower of Babel, the results have been disastrous. Are you wanting to know how that could happen? Let me try and give it to you in a very brief shot of time. Nimrod, the world's first public antichrist, has a project, the first World Trade Center. The invention of the first humanist religion, the first humanist state. And so all the people would have been doing then what they do now. You know how we build multiple towers? Go to Genesis chapter 11 and have a look at verse 6. You see, we would do now what they did then because man never changes. And the Lord looks at man as he's building this tower and he says, look, look what they can achieve. They have one language. Anything they set their hearts to is possible for them. And this is not us patting ourselves on our back. This is God talking about us. Do you know why we can achieve anything we set our hearts to? Because we are made in the image of who? God. You do need to be worried about cloning. Because God said, I mean, look what he just said we could do. You see, the problem is now we are no longer just made in the image of God. We are sinners and we are smart enough to do this, but not wise enough to know when we shouldn't. You should be rightly concerned about modern technology because it's not actually lifting you on the way up to where you think it's getting you. You see, you really need to be up there and you're so far short of the market. If you think your hope is in technology, it's going to lead you straight to an awful place called hell. But how did we get so far down? Think about our Tower of Babel. You know how we build multi-story towered buildings? Some people supply the bread. They haven't got time to do the building. Some people make the steel. Some people go and farm. Some people grow up the cows. Some people hunt. Some people look after the accounts and they can't make bread or grow anything. And the rest of us, we paint or we watch or we peer through the little holes or we teach their children because they're too busy doing it. Question, you've got a society that's divided in terms of its skills and all of a sudden each group gets different languages. Have you ever thought what must happen automatically? All of a sudden that one knowledge base is split. The people over here who were the painters, they have no idea how to build a building. Don't be surprised they go and live in caves and paint the most glorious artwork until they reinvent buildings. You see, the people who did the artwork in those caves were not primitive. And don't be surprised the people over here who could only farm end up being caught by other people because they're not very good with weapons. And don't be surprised the soldiers who were guarding everything because man is so evil, they soon become dominant over everybody else. But you see, the people who did the building weren't much good at artwork. So when they go to Egypt, they just repeat the building and their buildings just appear pretty good. But have you seen their artwork? Man, some of it's quite primitive. And some people ended up in Australia where they basically lost everything. I mean, I talked to one dear old Aboriginal elder and he said, "We came to this country after war and fighting in the middle of the world. And here we discovered the spirits and we began to worship them. And we lost our ability to make metal." They aren't primitive people on the way up. They're sophisticated people on the way down. Two last slides. Let's have a look at the second last one. You realize why Jesus told us to do that? Go into all the world and preach the gospel? Because everybody on this planet is descended from who? Ham, Shem and Japheth, who's descended from Noah, who's descended from Adam. And Adam chose to sin, and his sin has passed on everybody. Do you know what the main problem with Australia's Aboriginals is? Not that they're primitive people on the way up. The main problem is that their sin is cut off from who? I mean, think about it. Do you know what knowledge really is? Doesn't the scripture tell you the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge? The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. You don't need to change their culture. You don't need to keep their culture. You need to get them back in connection with who? With God. You see, I had a big black man in my office. He was a university graduate and his father had been a witch doctor cannibal. Do you think he'd evolved greatly? No, the family had received the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom to know is wisdom. And all of a sudden, he had an easy way to use the things that were around him. Oh, let's have one last one, please. Go into the world and preach the gospel, because everybody on this planet is descended from Adam, and everybody is therefore a sinner, and that includes you. In fact, if you're trying to use this information this morning to solve the problems we have in Ontario with so many mixed cultures and races, I want you to think of the lecture that Paul gave to the Greek academics on Mars Hill. You see, these were all university graduates. Look at what he said to them. "God has made of one blood all nations to dwell on the face of the earth and has determined the times before appointed and the boundaries of their habitation that they should seek the Lord." You know, it's interesting, when I'm in England, many of the people over there are a little concerned that their government has lost the plot. They've let too many black people into the country. And the Islamics are taking over. What's wrong with Mr. Blair? In reality, you have to remind Christians sometimes a little harshly. Do you know why the Islamic people are in England? I mean, look, God has made from one person, the Islamics, the black people, the white people, the brown people, the Chinese people, and he's done it for a reason. He's even determined the times and places they will live. Do you realize God is that powerful? I mean, think about it. Anybody who can make the universe has no trouble putting you in a slot in history. Do you reckon that? Do you know why the Islamics are in England? Because, you see, the British Christians have not been allowed to preach in Iraq. And God's not put back by that. If he can't get a missionary to Iraq, he brings the Iraqis to England where the Christians are. And guess what the Christians should be doing instead of complaining about the number of Iraqis? They should be going into the world and preaching the gospel so that all these race problems disappear as you become one in who? Jesus Christ. In fact, look, he's done this so that these people should seek what? Seek the Lord. Can I encourage you, when you are dealing with mission works, please don't go out and try and follow the line, "Well, let's keep their culture and just add Christianity to it." Most of our cultures are so far away from where they should be, we don't need to be keeping our culture and adding Christianity on the edges. We need to be turfing it all and replacing it with who? Jesus Christ, to whom to know is all knowledge and all wisdom, and you will be surprised what he will do with your brain. And in fact, when you have a think about what wisdom you need to live in this world, can I suggest you take the advice of James? If you need wisdom and you lack it, does anyone remember what he says in James chapter 1? "Ask of God, who freely gives you all the things that you need, By the way, do you know why he can do that? Anybody who can make the universe can give you anything that you need to bring his will to pass. One last verse. Go to John chapter 5, and then I'm done for the morning. Then you can come outside and see me about the books or the videos, or you can come and join us if you're a visitor as we look through the geological evidence tonight. And Adam would have needed none of that. You and I do, because we've gone so far down, and the glorious good news is Jesus is prepared to lift us back up and make us anew. John chapter 5, have a look at the last two verses. Now forgive me because I finished here last time I preached, but I will keep doing it so we get the point. You're wondering why David Suzuki is such a threat to the gospel? Because he's encouraging you to reject Moses. I mean, look what Jesus said in verse 46 and 47. If you believe Moses, you'd believe me. Moses tells you Adam started out good, then sin came in, and everybody is descended from one man, no matter what color you are. Therefore, your problem is sin. Not culture, your problem is sin. Not money, your problem is sin. Not environment, your problem is sin. And by the time you get up to John's gospel, you have the good news solution. But if you don't believe Moses, none of that makes any sense. Can I encourage you in your evangelism to make sure that if you get asked questions about what Moses wrote, you are prepared with an answer? And don't just stop there. Don't make creation a hobby horse and Noah's flood a hobby horse. You have to get all the way through to the fact that Jesus Christ came, because we really are so far down, we need to be lifted back up again and remade in his what? His image again.